have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. God's Word says you're to do two things with your money. Number one, sow some. The Bible says whoever sows generously will also reap generously, 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. You say, but things are a bit tight for me right now. Don't withhold because you are afraid of not having enough. Give God a seed to work with, and he will make sure you have a harvest when you need it. His ability to provide is not limited by the world's economy. Do what Isaac did. There was a famine in the land. Then Isaac sowed and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Genesis 26, verse 1 and verse 12. Who blessed Isaac financially? The Lord. When God tells you to give, do it in faith, confident that at the right time, in the right way, and exactly the right places, you will receive. You say, I've never tried that. Just one time before you die, try it. Number two, save some. There is treasure in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Proverbs 21 and 20. Learn to live within your means. Remind yourself that you can live happily without most of the stuff advertised on television. Before you make a purchase, stop and pray. Just because the bank approves the loan doesn't mean God approves the expenditure. Joseph instructed Pharaoh, gather all the food of those good years that are coming. Then that food shall be as a reserve for 7 years of famine. Genesis chapter 41, verses 35 and 36. Live by the Joseph principle and save. And one more thought. If you keep squandering money recklessly, why would God answer your prayer and give you more money to squander? This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor. Hey, this is your Gospel News for this week. Isabel Davis is a pastor and contemporary Christian recording artist based in New Orleans. Born and raised in San Antonio, Texas, she was brought up by parents who were involved in the local Christian World Worship Center. A few years after she became the center's worship pastor, she and her husband moved to New Orleans, where they joined City of Love. Within 5 years, she was named the church's worship pastor, and it was around that time she released her first single, The Call. The Brown Boys began as the Brown Boys Gospel Singers, a group formed during the early 1980s in their native of Freeport, a village on the south shore of Long Island, New York. The group, including siblings, are Curtis, Dennis, and Willie Brown, along with their cousin, Joe Williams. They changed their name during the 1990s to reflect their contemporary sound. They issued albums such as Jump for Joy in 2005, Harvest Time in 2009, and Evolution in 2012. The group has hit Billboard's top gospel albums and singles charts. Among their most popular songs, It's All Right and Better Days. For more than five decades, the Ingramettes have been bringing their music and ministry to congregations in the Tidewater and Piedmont area. The group is one of Virginia's premier gospel ensembles. Born July 4, 1930 on Mulholland's plantation in Coffee County, Georgia, founder Maggie Ingram worked in the cotton and tobacco fields with her parents. She began playing the piano and singing at an early age and developed a great love for the church and the ministry of the gospel. She formed Sister Maggie Ingram and the Ingramettes, a singing group that became sought after for appearances throughout the state of Florida. In 1961, Maggie moved her family to Richmond, where she worked in the home of Oliver W. Hill, the prominent civil rights attorney who represented Virginia's plaintiffs in the landmark case Brown versus the Board of Education. The family joined Love's Temple Church of God in Christ and began singing around around the city. With their children, Maggie also began a prison ministry, partnering with the Mount Gilead Baptist Church in the 1970s to institute programs like Family Day in Virginia prison camps. The Ingramettes are icons in Richmond and have received numerous awards, including the prestigious Virginia Heritage Award in 2009. Maggie was awarded a Doctor of Music degree from Virginia Triumphant College and Seminary in 2011. The Virginia Folklife Program production of the Maggie Ingram and the Ingramettes live in Richmond received the Independent Music Awards Fans Choice Award for Gospel Album of the Year in 2012. Do you have a dream of performing on stage in front of thousands of cheering fans? Well, so many amateur recording artists are doing the same thing. If you have the talent but you're not exactly sure of how to go about it, there are several stages to achieving fame and success in the recording industry. First of all, work on your skills. A multi-million-dollar marketing budget and the very best music executives in the world are no substitute for real talent. As well as writing. Constant practice is an essential part of becoming a successful recording artist. Number two, record your music professionally. Hire a local studio to record your songs. That is the most wise investment. Prepare your songs and recording schedule in advance, as studios are rented by the hour. They can also be very expensive. Most studios are available with a technician on hand, so you should be able to record some professional tracks for independent release or submission to labels. More tips on how to become successful in the music industry to come. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Tamela Mann with He Did It For Me. Todd Delaney featuring Smokey Norville with Satisfied. 8, Joshua Rogers, Still Gone Trust. 7, Fred Hammond, Hallelujah. 6, Erica Campbell, Positive. 5, Charles Jenkins and Fellowship Chicago featuring Stephanie Mills with Never Knew Love. 4, Dawkins and Dawkins, Come By Here, down from number 1. 3, James Fortune, Never Let Me Down. 2, Ricky Dillard, All of My Help. And our new number 1 song comes from Sister Ja'Kalyn Carr with My Portion. Well, that's your top 10 songs for this week, as well as your gospel news. Hey, connect with me on all social media outlets. Go to my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And you can hear my good friend, Nina Taylor, along with my beautiful wife, Lady Sharon Richard, every single Thursday at 10 p.m. I want to welcome you to the Pastor's Corner, a place where leaders gather together and talk about biblical events of the day. Thank you all for joining us. We bless God for you. We are going to do a very short show today. There's so much going on personally that I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get things done. But first and foremost, let's find out what's going on and who's with us. Let's start with the producer of the show, who is always here, and I do bless God for her, for all that she does. Sister Kimmy Kim, how are you?
I am great. How about yourself?
I do everything I can to stay relevant and to stay lit and to stay moving. I'm always trying to come up with something new. I was just on a conference, believe it or not. I have several, and I don't know how this happened, but I have several individuals who are interested in putting us on television. So maybe you and I have to get together and talk about the Pastor's Corner and Elations Radio in general at some point in time. Do we want to actually proceed to it? But I do thank God for the open invitations. There's four of them to be exact. Nonetheless, we are going to move forward. I love hearing you. Thank you so much for all that you do. Let me find out who else is on with me, or maybe I should ask you. Who else is on with us? Let
Honestly, I just, I believe we have both apostles and Chanel right now.
Okay. All right. I know Pastor Henderson won't be with us tonight. Minister Paula Henderson won't be with us tonight. I don't believe Apostle Flight's coming either, or at least no indication that she is. But let me address both apostles. Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith, good evening, sir. How are you? How's everything?
I'm black and proud of
Now, recognize and you're proud of it. Welcome to the Pastor's Corner. Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, my friend, I wasn't sure if you were going to be with us today or not, but you made it. God bless you. How are you?
Let's get ready to rumble.
Okay, hey, I heard that. I always wanted to do it. Man, the Lord bless you. Thank God for you. Praying that everything is well, man. We're just grateful to be here. I wasn't sure I was going to be here tonight, and I just got through with a live, and then I looked at the time. I said, "Oh God, it's 10:00." I said, "That means it's time for the Pastor's Corner." I said, "So let me try to tune in for just a little bit." And the amazing thing is, you said it's not going to be a lengthy show. So to God be the glory. He answers prayer. Hallelujah! Oh, toasted oven, busted onion. Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
Lord help him. Anyway, we're excited to have you both here today. Well, I mean, we had begun talking about hiding the word in your heart, and I think I want to skip because this is the last Wednesday in the month of July, and I do want to go to something new starting next month. I do want to
excuse
make
me. Wait. Excuse me. First of all, today is Thursday, and it's still the month of June.
Well, it's the last Thursday in the month. Thank you. It is the last Thursday in the month of June. And as a matter of fact, I kind of want to shift gears here just a little bit. And if you'll just bear with me for a minute, I have gotten multiple feedback, and I've had two conversations on this subject already. And what I'm trying not to do is to keep rehashing and going over the same stuff time and time again. But I'm finding that when a subject has some validity to it, we really have to go ahead and talk about it. So let's go ahead. And first of all, I'm going to ask Apostle Smith if you would pray us in, and then we're going to go to our subject for today.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you at this time and this hour as we shall discuss your word on the Pastor's Corner at this hour. Father, anoint us afresh. Give us revelation. Give us voices that shall speak only thy truth, revelation of thy truth. And when your people shall hear the word that is spoken tonight, they shall be renewed. They shall be changed. They shall be lifted up to a new height in you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. And then again, I want to welcome those of you, and I'm trying to do better with this, so you guys are really seriously going to have to pray with me and for me. I know I've been terrible with the social media aspects, and I'm doing everything I can to try to include our social media. I've only included TikTok today, and I don't even know if Facebook Live is even on. I can't tell. They've given me a new format. Yeah, I used to be able to see who came on and used to be able to talk, to people about things like that. But we're going to let it go for a minute. Out of James, and let me get the scripture. Where's my phone? James chapter, I need Proverbs 18:21. Apostle Whitlow, if you'll please get that for me. And as a matter of fact, Pastor, you get James, the third chapter, verses 1 through 10. And I'll do Proverbs 18:21. Is that okay?
Yes, sir. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I got you.
When you get it, just go ahead and start reading.
James chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be unto God. Proverbs 18:21 simply says, and this is where we're going to jump off. I shared all that and had Apostle Whitlow share all that with you, the listening audience, to get to this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Our subject tonight is, can you get it under control? Yeah, can you get it under control? I'm often amazed. I was on several podcasts over the last several days. Last week I was on a, on a podcast, supposed to be a Christian podcast, and it made you wonder what kind of podcast this really was, because the way people were coming off, the way the individual, the young lady was talking, I mean, knowing that I was there, the young lady proceeded to let all types of vulgarity just escape her mouth and then turn around and say, oops, I'm sorry, Pastor, I know you're there, but this is the way I am. Are you really like that? I'm amazed sometimes, and I'm even shocked by the different tones that really actually flow out of the mouths of people. You know, many of us listen to the radio. We hear television, and sometimes in telephone conversations, you can hear distinctive tones that indicate who it is you're talking to or what it is that you're listening to. And some people have what I call, and it's not so much the tone in and of itself. Some have heavy tones and raspy tones, and, you know, some talk with a high-pitched voice, and some are just plain hard to understand. Then there are those people who never really make a sound, and they cause you to wonder if they are without speech, meaning they're not saying a whole lot. And then there are those who are, have what I call use as to what I just described of what I like to call ambiguous language, language that's what they call ordinary, but to many of us causes us to cringe, you know. And then those who, you know, they not only when they speak, they use these famous four-letter words to conceal the truth or avoid committing themselves to whatever it is that they need to commit to. And the same tone, there are those who talk too much. And personally, I think it's really wise just to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're dumb, than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Now, in today's discussion, we recognize and realize that the personification of the tongue is really unique. You know why? Think about this, gentlemen and ladies who are here, and Sister Chanel, before I go any further, welcome. I apologize. I should have addressed you before I even got into this dissertation. How are you today?
I'm good.
All right. Well, good to hear you. I'm glad to hear you so much. Please feel free to join in on the conversation at any point in time. So getting back to where I was, basically the tongue basically is a personification or an identity of who you really are. Your tongue literally, ladies and gentlemen, serves as a tattletale to what's literally in your heart, and it really discloses who you are or the real you. And not only that, but when there is misuse of the tongue, it's maybe the easiest way one can commit sin. For those who may not understand, I'm just going to simply say it. You probably do understand, but just bear with me for just a few minutes. There are some sins that an individual may be able to commit simply because there's some sins that an individual may not be able to commit because there's basically no opportunity, but there are no built-in restraints or boundaries or limitations to what one can say where the tongue is concerned. And is there any of you guys agree with me or want to go ahead and share your thoughts on this opening dissertation? Don't you all jump at once. Somebody start. Just jump off the springboard and show me what you got. Did I lose you guys?
We're here. I was giving others an opportunity to get started. You know, so.
Okay. New rule. New house rule. If they don't jump when you're ready, you go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, this tongue, there are so many things to look at, but I think that the thing we need to recognize is that this tongue is simply a terror at the end
mm-hmm.
of the day. It's
yep.
liable to say anything, and
yes.
it will say it without remorse, without regret. Knowing that it may not, and because one thing is certain, when it comes out of the mouth, you can't take it back. It does not go back, no matter what. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it is a terror. I'm a hold right there.
All right. Anybody else? Where
Why
are you,
that?
There's no dying on the pastor's
he
corner.
He said whatever you say can't be taken back. And most of us that have ever been in any kind of relationship know that's true. Because you said something off, said something that was a little crazy, I don't care how much you apologize. If you say something again, they're going to say, uh-huh, that's just like the last time. Well, you said that was forgiven. You said that was forgiven. So how can you be bringing it up again? Because the tongue said it.
Uh-huh.
And that's all that can be remembered, that it was said, not that you
uh-huh.
apologized. Only thing can be remembered, it was spoken.
Okay, Dr. Robinson and Sister Chanel, what's your take on it?
I believe the tongue is wicked. That's my
input. Okay.
So that would be my input.
Dr. Kimmy Kim, and please stay off mute the rest of the show. Dr. Kimmy?
I just said the tongue is wicked, and that is what I'm going to say.
Oh, that was you. I thought that was Sister Chanel. I apologize. Sister Chanel?
Concur with
okay.
what everyone
concur
else
with?
Said. Being that the tongue can be wicked.
Okay.
That it sometimes, sometimes it can be wicked. Mm-hmm.
Now, let me throw this in there. There are multiple descriptions of the tongue throughout Scripture. Can we just, if I can get you, all of you, to just throw a word out there that describes the tongue? Wicked, I heard. So we're going to take wicked out. Are there any other words?
Like I said, it's a terror.
A terror? I heard that. Thank you.
It's deadly.
Deadly?
Lethal.
Harsh.
Lethal, harsh.
Poison.
Can I throw in deceitful?
Untamed.
Untamed.
Poison.
Come on, give me some more. And what I'm trying to do here, let me help you guys out what I'm trying to do here. You guys know as well as I do that in this day and age on social media, there are a lot of individuals who, and if I could use Apostle Flight's phrase, they come for you when you ain't sent for them. And they disparage your character. They demean your means. They try to do everything they can to pull you down. And, you know, other words that we could talk about, you know, the tongue we know is filthy. It's corrupt. The tongue can be flattering. It can be slanderous. The tongue is basically a gossip tool for gossip, can be blasphemous at certain times, can say foolish things and boast things that it cannot accomplish. It will complain, and of course it will always, if you're not saved, curse. And I want to establish what curse is, because a lot of people think that when I say sugar honey iced tea or shut the front door, I'm just using fill-ins for these words. That is not necessarily cursing. That is just a word that's being misinterpreted and misused. Basically, a curse is when you pronounce condemnation on somebody, but the degree of condemnation is determined by how, in most cases, angry you might be. Nonetheless, the tongue has something to do with it. The tongue, we found, is contentious and sensual, and it can be vile. There's an exhaustive list, and it's no wonder that God put the tongue in the place where it is. You know, the tongue has the ability to say the wrong thing at the right time. Does that make any sense? No, I guess not.
Yes, it makes plenty of sense.
Anyway, so let's get into this discussion. Let's go back and look at what James is talking about. He says, not many of us should become teachers, my brothers, but you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. This is the English Standard Version that I'm reading. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. So the first thing I'm learning here is that basic self-discipline it lets me know that if I can contain and tame my tongue, I can contain and tame anything. Yes? No? I don't think so. What do you guys think?
No, if you could tame the whole body along with the tongue, then the Bible said you would be the perfect man.
Yep.
Listen, which is amazing, because it says as powerful as man is, when it comes to the tongue, man is powerless.
You're right. I agree. I agree. Mm.
Let's look at this, Brother Richard, though. Even in school, the teacher would always tell you, watch your mouth, but there was never no lessons on what that means. How do you do that? You know, how do you get, there was never any lessons, because it is a thing that has not been done, and the Bible says cannot be done. Is somewhere in this tonight, can you read this from either the Amplified or the Message?
What, do you want the James chapter 3 from the Amplified?
Or even the Message, either one.
Let me see if I can go to the Message. If you get it before I do, go ahead. I got the Message right here. So let me go to the Message. That's English Standard. Let's go Message. Message, Message.
And then even while you're looking for it, let's think about how many times as children we have seen them get slapped in the mouth. And then still say something stupid. Even after being slapped in the mouth, they still said something that wasn't right, wasn't correct. Wound up getting another beating at home and was still talking crazy. There's something about the mouth that has a problem.
It's something about, I would say it goes a little deeper than that, and I agree with you, but I'm going to tell you for sure, when Rosalie told you to shut up, she didn't say it but once. Because if your mouth is open after she told you to shut up, she filled your mouth with nothing that was good. Let me say it to you like that. She had, now we all give Serena Williams credit for her backhand. Well, I guess Serena never met Rosalie's backhand. Because I don't know which had more power, Serena's backhand or Rosalie's backhand. I do know this. There were a couple of times I remember when I got backhanded in the mouth that I thought I saw stars. And I'm not talking about Denzel Washington and all them. I mean real stars, you know, like the ones you see in the sky. But see, that told me right then and there, unlike some of these kids today, I am not going to make another comment because of the fact that I don't want her to come back with a second swipe. I am not an ATM machine. You will not be swiping your card, meaning your hand, across my mouth. Let's look at the Message. It says, don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held in the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech is perfectly true, you'd have a perfect, in perfect control of life. Now, that right there, now, we also said we wanted the Amplified. So let's do the Amplified really quick. If you find it before I do, Apostle Whitlow, please read. As a matter of fact, I got one for you that you'll like. This is the Amplified Classic Edition. It says, not many of you should become teachers, self-constituted censors and reprovers of others, my brethren. For you know that we teachers will be judged with a higher standard and with greater severity than other people. Thus, we assume the greater accountability and the more condemnation. Verse 2, for we all often stumble and fall, and often in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is fully developed. He has a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body, to curb his entire nature. We're discovering something about teachers in general. And the one thing we're finding out is they're not as perfect as some of us make them out to be. I think that's a beautiful thing. Now, if we're going to be dealt with or we're going to be judged with a stricter, and if you got something you want to share, please just interrupt, you know, because James is informing us that leaders and teachers are actually on a standard, even though they don't want to be. They're on a stricter standard than other believers when they stand before God. Why is that? Because of the very fact that we have a great influence on people. Let me take you back a few years, and you can agree with me or disagree with me. I'll take you back to two different instances, as a matter of fact. Anybody remember the Ghana thing? What was that so-called pastor's name that led all those people to Ghana and try and poison them, and those that would not drink the poison, he had them shot and killed? Jim Jones.
Was it Jim Jones?
Yes, Jim Jones. Was he an influencer, yes or no? Think about it.
He was an influencer, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go down into Waco, Texas. Remember David Koresh? Was he an influencer? I think he's the one that we're more familiar with, and everybody and their grandmama talked about him, but the man tried to teach people some things that would benefit them, but at the same time, he took advantage and benefited himself. Remember Reverend Ike?
Yes.
Influencer, yes or no?
He was an influencer, and they didn't like him for what he preached.
Uh-huh. Let's look at something that was even more current. And I'm not saying anything against the brother. I'm just saying, Peter Popoff, he hands these people miracle waters, tell them to pray a certain way, and then the next thing you know, we see a bunch of black and Latino people on TV talking about the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they got. Let me curve what I'm about to say. But I'm going to say it because God already heard me. They got the hundreds of thousands of dollars. They ain't seen a dentist yet. What's wrong with that picture? Anyway, let's move on.
Wait a minute. I was wondering. Was that a discriminatory holy water? Because I tried that. And it looked like I sunk into more debt. So what was it? Was there something wrong with me? Was it because I was bald? Or is it maybe because my teeth were straighter?
I'm not sure what it is, but one thing is for sure, people have the ability to influence you. And I remember going to revivals back in the younger day, and Smith, you know what I'm talking about, because you were at some of the same revivals I was at. They would spend 20 minutes in the Word, but almost a full hour taking up an offering. What was wrong with that picture?
They wanted to make sure they paid a few things.
Well, I mean, you know, as an influencer, they would turn around, and to some point, not all of them, but to some point, some of these individuals literally did manipulatory work. In my young naiveness, I didn't know and bit the bullet on a couple of occasions. I had to learn my lesson. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. This is why I tell people when I'm in service, if you decide you don't want to give one plug nickel, I can't do nothing about that. That's between you and God. I share with you what the Scripture says, and if you decide to be disobedient toward Scripture, not toward me, toward Scripture, you won't give one plug nickel. But if you obey the word, God has to honor his word. Therefore, it's my responsibility to not sit there and try to swindle you, not to try to take you for a ride, not to try to suck you dry of your offerings, whatever that may be. And for those of you that tithe, there's something on TikTok right now that was offered up by Creflo Dollar concerning tithes and offerings. And he makes the comment to throw all your books, tapes, and anything you have on tithes and offerings out, because if it doesn't line up with God's word, it is of non-effect. I partly agree with him, and I agree with him for the statement he makes, but I disagree with him for some of the reasoning that he presented. But my point is simply this. We're going to receive a stricter judgment because there are other believers. We're going to receive stricter judgment than most other believers as teachers because of our great influence. When a follower basically makes a mistake, that follower usually affects him and perhaps his family and those who are close to him, and usually it will not affect Well, I won't say it won't affect the community because it can affect the community. When we had these school shootings, that's a community effect, but we don't know what was said to influence this individual to turn around, grab a rifle, and go into a school and shoot a bunch of children. But my point is, when a leader makes a mistake, he affects everybody that follows him. Do you guys agree or disagree with that?
True that.
Expound more, if you will, please.
Well, because the leader or pastor of a church, the Bible says, I've given you pastors after my own heart that shall feed you. That is your food while you're in the house. Shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And if they're just up giving you trash and junk and candy and talking about, all right, well, everybody's going to be all right, well, they're not giving you what God expects them to give you.
All right. Ladies, anything you want to add to that? Don't concur. Don't say I agree. I want to hear your opinion. I can hear two cockroaches in another country having a fist fight. It's so quiet in here.
Well, like I said, the tongue can be very deceitful. And, yes, your actions will affect people who are following you. You may not...
Apostle Whitlow?
I'm here, sir.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think what needed to be said was said, you know, and I don't think that there's anything that could really be added to it. Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it.
Brother Holmes, let me ask the question, though.
Go ahead.
If we're going to talk about the tongue being deceitful and tricky and all of that, then what does everybody feel about the leader that just told the couple to make love on the altar, God's going to bless you with a baby?
Well, that to me is cult. That is an occult, because one thing about the Lord is the Lord does not put people on display like that for everybody else to see. I don't believe you can't convince me that's the thing that the Lord would do. And so I really believe that is someone who is acting out of a cultic manner. And I believe that that one is going to be whipped with many, many stripes. I believe that.
With that thought process, I will say this also. The fact that this said to be leader had the gall to desecrate the altar like that. Now, to everything, there is a time and a season, and everything in life has its own place. For the man and woman, and this is where I fault those who do not study the scriptures to approve themselves of God, not of men, of God. That husband and wife, in their desire to be obedient to their leader, should have known what the scripture says. Bible's crystal clear when it says marriage is honorable. And then don't throw this part out, because this is where they messed up. And the bed is undefiled. Your bed is not on the altar of a sanctuary where the body of Christ gathers and are in observance of that which the Lord is doing. So with that particular statement that you made, I'm simply saying those individuals missed the boat. That leader wasn't even on the boat. Now, of course, if I go to my manly thought process and what I recall of seeing that video, the wife being underneath her husband. I don't think her husband had much, you know, I don't know. Let me stop. I don't want to get too deep into that because I'm thinking to myself, in a situation like that, with all these people watching, I'm not even sure if I could get the type of, oh, God, how do I say this without being vulgar or out of place?
Erection.
I could say erection. I don't think I would have the proper, I don't think I would have the proper erection to be able to do that in the presence of people. I'm not a porn star. So, you know, basically, I just can't see where I'm going to be able to perform that. But anyway, let's move on. There was
now what do you think, though? If the couple if the couple had responded to Pastor, well, if God is getting ready to bless, why don't you and your wife come join us?
Well, if God is getting ready to bless, I don't think God would to that level. You find that kind of action back in the days of the Corinthian church, they had temples where prostitutes would perform such acts, but more or less in a private sector. I'm not, from what I've read in times past, but I don't think, and this is Ernest 1 and 1, I don't believe God would put his standards, his morals, and scruples that he preaches throughout the word to test in a fashion of that caliber. I just don't think he would do it because now he's contradicting himself if he does.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this, and this is based upon knowing some people. There are certain things that certain folk do in certain denominations, especially in the Caribbean. And you know good and well that if you go to if you were to go to certain congregations and local assemblies that are in foreign places, you would find that they do things completely different from what we do, because uh-huh. of what we believe and what they believe will be two different things, you know. So some of those things are, if you will, are just signs of the witchery that is involved, as opposed to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Again, I don't believe, and this is just me, and if I'm wrong, please forgive me, I don't believe that the Lord would have a couple to be intimate on a sacred ground in his house. Now, granted, if they have an altar in their house and they want to make a sacrifice like that in their house, that's between them and God. But in the sanctuary of the righteous, I don't believe that would be something that the Lord would do. But I believe the reason things like that happen is because someone has listened to the tongue that has brought them to that place to believe it's okay to do this or to operate like that. And what has happened is those are the people, if you will, who have been brainwashed. They are under mental bondage and mental control because of what some type of intellectualism or some type of enchantment or some type of spell which needs to be broken. That's it.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. And the problem here is we do have leadership, especially in the church, and we're not bashing leadership in the church. We're making observation. We have leadership in the church. They mean well, but they don't, how do you say, they don't execute that which they are ought to say. They don't execute. They don't execute, excuse me. So, I mean, the bottom line is this, and I started to say this, and I'm going to continue on here. Did we share what you thought we ought to share, Apostle Smith?
It was a good thought, because you got to be careful as this scripture you chose tonight, as teachers of those who share this word, we got to be careful that we're not just saying something, but that the wisdom of God is in our lips, and that we're speaking what God said and not the way we want to speak it, but what God said. I don't know if y'all know about this one, but there was a bishop out a few years ago call himself talking about something that the church had to do, But when he was mentioning it, he was mentioning the wrong thing.
Uh-huh.
So his wife got up from behind him, tapped him on the shoulder to give him the right direction, the right words. He turned around and slapped her like she was a B-I-T-C-H off the street.
Wow. And probably said something to her that was very hurtful and disturbing to the congregation.
Well, you know, he slapped her and then said, you know that you disturb me when I'm talking.
Wow. Cool. Well, let me throw this in there. And I'm kind of trying to press on because I was thinking about stopping a little early. So I do want to take as much of this out as I can. How many of you guys remember E.F. Hutton? Or should I say the law offices of E.F. Hutton? They had a special slogan that they used to always say. Anybody remember what that slogan was?
When E.F. Hutton is talking, everybody listens.
E.F. Hutton speaks. People listen. That was his basic, and this law firm used that to say that when their law firm comes into a courthouse, the judge, the jury, and anybody involved is going to hear everything. It was their pitch to get you to hire them as a law firm. And the law firm of E.F. Hutton was sharing with us that when the real leader speaks, people are, in fact, listening. And in this day and age, especially when you're dealing with the church and we're dealing with community, and even in the political world, this can be good news or it can be bad news, depending upon whether the leader's words are listening for God, listening to God's promises, or that those in position of influence will give or they're saying what's on their mind and saying what they think and saying how they feel. But little do they realize they're going to have to give an account for how they use that influence. And see, in one sense, you know, God, you can look at God as a spiritual accountant. You know, he's like, he has angels that are heavenly CPAs, and he's calling those of us who are in leadership positions to answer for how we use the resources that God gives to us. We got to realize that there's a time coming, and that's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be required to give an account for what we've said and what we've done and how we have used our influence. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Absolutely. And I agree that we will have to give an account for how we use our influence. That's a very good point, preacher. That's a very good point.
Yeah. See, now there are some things. Thank you so much, sir. As I move on, and I'm going to probably get into this segment, I don't know if we're going to do this next week or not. I'm not going to say we are because, honestly speaking, I've got to say this from my heart. Over the last few weeks, I have really been contemplating what it is, God, that I need to do. No, I don't want to give you the impression that I'm quitting, that I'm giving up, that I'm going to walk away from the pastor's corner. But I get concerned sometimes when I get into dialogue, conversation, and topical discussions where, you know, I start challenging myself for what's said or what's being said. And I'm learning about myself that my words have a great power. They contain great power. And as I read James, you know, because James is focusing on that little muscle between my cheek and my gums called the tongue, that little thing has the ability to dispense both blessing as well as curses. meaning, and I already explained curses earlier, so I'm not going to go back and explain it again. I have to pay close attention for the communication that I let come out of my mouth. I know I like being raw. I like being real. I like being relevant. But there are points in times when I have to figure out a better way to say what I'm trying to say without saying exactly what I'm trying to say. I guess that doesn't make sense to some people, but I have to understand that there are people out there who are listening to me at this day, even in this hour, even at this moment. And I may be influencing a decision that they may make in the days to come. Now, I'm going to show you something. We all make decisions on a daily basis, whether it's, you know, to get up, to get dressed. You know, we have to figure out what to wear, where to go, where to eat, what time to go to bed, what time to do whatever it is we need to do. We're always making all kinds of decisions. And though some decisions are not all that important, yet a lot of our decisions really shape out the course of our day and where we're going. And a lot that has to do with it, really comes forward in our daily pressing. I want to introduce four things, or I'm going to call them the four G's. Now, if we've discovered that the tongue is a spiritual meter and can share with a lot of people basically our mindset, if we bridle it, we can handle the whole body. It becomes something of the first G being the word gauge. For our maturity, a lot of us don't recognize and realize the way we talk is a gauge toward the level of maturity that we possess. If you find somebody that's always blowing everybody off and telling people they don't know what we're talking about, if you find somebody that's always badgering, belittling, and berating other people, tearing people down, you know, I mean, you have to understand that their maturity is being gauged. They don't have much maturity. What am I trying to say? Basically, your overall faith will never register higher than the basic words that you use. Anybody agree or disagree with that? And
say that one more again. Say it one more again. Say it one more again.
I was saying that our faith, our tongue is our spiritual meter, okay? It kind of gives people an idea of where we are, who we are. If we learn to bridle it, get it under control, we can keep the whole body under control. Therefore, I'm saying in basic that our tongue becomes a gauge toward our maturity. There are a lot of people, I made mention of those individuals who may not know how to properly speak to other people, but, you know, they turn around and they're constantly, continuously belittling, berating, and riding and tearing down other people, which tells you that they don't have a very high level of maturity. I ended it by saying that our faith can never really register higher than the words that we have learned to speak. And my question is, do you agree or disagree with it?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. You know, I think you spoke that very well, very eloquently. So, yes, I would agree. Amen.
I agree with that as well. Amen.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
you.
Right here.
Hello?
We can hear you. Hi.
Okay. I thought there was something wrong with my phone. Yeah, I agree with that, too, as well. Well said.
I mean, so now let me ask you this. Since we're on the avenue of gauge, are we in our right place, our rightful place to gauge somebody's conversation based upon what they say, or should we gauge that person more by what they do?
I would say both.
I think there's an element of both, what they say and what they do. Which should hopefully, and so hopefully with the maturity of the tongue, it won't speak out of terms.
Remember, because if it, the tongue is not matured and it speaks prematurely because of what is said or what is done, it may do more damage than good. And we should always be in the design of doing good, saying good, operating in good, because of the maturity that comes with what we have learned and what we have gained from our experiences.
Wow. Apostle Smith?
I say amen.
Either I'm saying something tonight or nobody has much to say. I'm not sure which, but I'm going to leave it alone.
I think no one has much to say because you're saying something tonight. If it was any other week, we would have much to say because you ain't saying much. But tonight you're saying much, so we don't have much to say.
Good thing I'm glad I can't jump through the phone. Hey, Whitlow, the Bible says lay hands suddenly on no man. If I could jump through the phone, I'd be choking you right about now. Anyway.
Hey, your consecration coming up. You can't talk like that.
Yeah. Oh, hey, listen, I'm saying it in jest because thank God we can't get through the telephone. You know how many lines would really be jammed up? Think about it. Now, I'm going to show you something. My mind goes to one individual. He's something of an influencer, but he's more of he nitpicks, and he does it with such poise that everybody lets him get away with it, and we've become comfortable with this individual. How many of you have listened to the Steve Harvey Show and have heard Nephew Tommy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
OMG. How that brother can get folk to come out of their character on a moment's notice is beyond me. Of course, it helps that people give him information that helps to feed into whatever it is they're talking about. So basically, with Nephew Tommy, and see, the problem here is, although we don't have to agree with what I'm about to say, when you look at a person like Nephew Tommy, this brother literally, sort of, kind of, in a very roundabout way, will put your spiritual maturity on alert, especially if he's given the task of calling you and riling you up with some nonsense that in your mind doesn't make any sense. Here's my thing. I never understand why these individuals whom he calls doesn't know his voice by now.
In most cases, he has disguised his voice, if you be truthful. It is not until he has fully captivated them and pranked them that he says, I got one more thing to tell you. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Then they're like, and that's it.
Well, I agree, but I mean, I guess every time I've heard him, he sounded like himself. You know what I mean? I mean, his information, his fact, and here's what I'm finding out. And here, I'll tell you what I'm alluding to in 30 seconds. I'm finding out that his speed of conversation really becomes, and here's the second word. I said I wanted to deal with 4 G's, okay? His speed of conversation literally becomes the guide to, in most cases, the way that conversation is going to go. What I'm trying to say is when we look in verses 3-5, they compare the tongue to like the bit that's put in the horse's mouth or the ship's rudder or kindling wood, and it starts things basically in one direction in motion. And it just simply says that if we're not able to control our tongue in the process of our conversation, we can, we can guide our lives if we can keep it under control. And just a bit, just as a bit directs a horse or a rudder steers a ship, so does our tongue steer the conversation. See, the tongue, when we speak and the words that we use, they have the ability to either open a door or cause a door to be closed. People have missed out on blessings because they did not know how to control their tongue in the midst of a conversation that was the teetering point whether or not they either A, get the job, B, get the promotion, or whatever the case may be. And when you can't put your tongue under control, you find yourself at a loss. You find yourself at a disadvantage. You find yourself in a position where all that you have worked for now is about to be thrown out. Now, I'm going to share something, and I got to be careful how I say this. I'm going to say it the way the individual said it. And this is one of those statements that's going to cause you to scratch your head, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. So get ready. Prior to going out of office, Donald Trump, I didn't say President Trump, I said Donald Trump, made a comment. And he was at a rally where they were talking about kidney disease. He turned around and tried to look as sincere as he could. And he said, the kidney is near and dear to the heart. I went silent on purpose so you could hear what was just said. The kidney is near and dear to the heart. Now, any heart surgeon or anybody that does medicine probably stopped and said, what did he say? And why am I making that a reference? Because sometimes when you're in a leadership position and you're not sure what to say, as opposed to just saying any old dumb thing, would you not find it more of a wise thing to say nothing at all? My mother used to say when I was a child, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense because she didn't want you to stick your foot in your mouth. That's pretty much what she was saying. Any kind of...
Brother Holmes, can I ask, you brought up the name Nephew Tommy.
Uh-huh.
And if any of you have heard it, as funny as it is, it got me thinking right now because of this conversation. There is a clip of him out on YouTube now. He calls a man from the church he's going to be going to, telling the man he's praying for his operation, but he needs a kidney.
Uh-huh.
Now, first of all, let me show you how manipulative the tongue is. Because the first thing he says to the man is, this is Deacon Patterson from the church. The man had never heard of a Deacon Patterson from the church. Why did he keep talking?
I have no clue. Deacon Patterson.
So,
now, that could have been
the first thing Nephew Tommy said was already a lie, but the man kept talking.
Uh-huh.
And then he told the man, well, I know you've been out of church for about 8 months or so, you know, getting yourself together and all that for the operation you're about to take. Now, if you've only been a member of the church for 8 months, how do you know all my business?
All right.
That was the second thing. Then the third thing is, he said, I'm going to have prayer. The church has been praying for you, but I called today because I want to have prayer with you. Now, if the church is praying for you, why isn't the pastor and another deacon or a mother or something on the phone with him?
All right. Good question.
There's a whole list of stuff in that particular segment why that man should have never been caught. Everything Tommy was saying was of non-truth, but he went with it anyway. There is something about the tongue that make people ride with something that ain't even true what you're saying to them, but there's something about it that makes them get on the ride and go for the ride. I don't know what that is.
You're right about that. But see, the thing is, Now, and James, I believe, is the same one. If it's not, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it's in James chapter 2, where James encourages us to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And I believe the reason why he says that is for the very reason that you just shared with us. Sometimes people will manipulate what's being said. Sometimes people will misconstrue. Now, this happened to me actually today. My oldest son called me last night and was telling me about a love interest that he has and that he was going to bring her home to meet the family. Now, my prayer is that he's serious about this young lady and that something does come of this, because anybody that knows me personal knows I never had a quote-unquote biological daughter. I have daughters, spiritually speaking, but I've never had a biological daughter. And it would be an honor for me personally to have a daughter-in-law that I could love, spoil, and send her home just to irk my son's nerve. I mean, let's just be real about it. I ain't hiding that. But he told me of a young lady that he's going to bring. Actually, she's going to be at the consecration, believe it or not. And he's going to be there with her, and he's going to introduce her to me for the first time. So if he's serious about her, you know, I look forward. But anyway, I said all that to get to this point. Earlier today, you know, I'm trying to remember what he said, because I remember exactly what I said. She is basically an engineer. She wants to get into another field. And it's called Nah something. But to me, it sounded like he wanted to get into animal hygiene. And that's not what she said. That's not what he said. And I said, why does she want to do animal hygiene? Of course, my son deemed me with a senior citizens moment. Y'all know how that works. And we laughed about it, but my point is sometimes we think we hear and we don't. And because we think we hear something, we'll begin to speak. I'll show you another example that's even more closer to home. We have folk who will be in the middle of a heated discussion, even an argument, and a person will say something in the middle of that discussion or in the middle of that argument, and that person they're talking to feels like they've just been insulted. And the first thing out of their mouth, what'd you just say? Like they're going to, you know, like they go to defenses, like they're going to rear up and knock somebody out. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. We can all attest to that. We can all attest to that. We have to say, you know, sometimes it happens between parents and children. Sometimes it happens between husband and wife. And sometimes it happens between people that we may be affiliated with, you know, or something like that. You know, and they'll be saying something and they'll be running their mouth and be like, excuse me, wait a minute, stop, backtrack, rewind. I need you to repeat what you just said, you know. And then they'll be like, huh, what you mean, what you talking about? Like, no, just say what you just said. And then they'll say the very last thing and say, no, just before that. And they'll try to go so far back as if you didn't hear what they said.
Wow. Well, listen, we're down to it. Thank you. Anybody else? I heard Dr. Kimmy just jump in there. I haven't heard you, Sister Chanel. I'm just waiting for you to come across and share something, but I'll be patient.
That was her. I've just been listening. Yeah.
Can y'all announce yourself when you come in? Because I'm having a difficult time deciphering which is which. Your voices don't sound that similar, but I'm trying to listen carefully. Usually I have a speaker attached to this phone, but I got the i13 phone, which is terrible when it comes down to connecting speakers. I try to connect the speaker to this particular phone, and then you guys tell me you can't hear me. So, you know.
Well, that sounds like a personal problem. I'm just kidding.
Nah, I wouldn't call it a personal problem.
I'm just messing with you, Bishop.
Sitting here talking about the tongue.
Oh, wow. Did we not just talk about the tongue just a few seconds ago? That is living proof of what we've been talking about all night. Living proof.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Now, if that is
that
a personal
had,
problem,
you know, that...
put the speaker on, and then you could spend the rest of the night trying to hear me. I could solve that problem. That ain't a problem.
Now you left yourself open for that one. You left yourself open for that one.
I'm going to move forward. Yeah. Like I said, the third thing I want to pay attention to is basically verses 6 through 8. 6 says the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness, Kimmy Kim. Set among our members, containing and depraving the whole body, and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea animal can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius, by nature. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is restless. I just figured that out. It's undisciplined. I just heard it. It's irreconcilable. I just heard it. It's evil. No, full of deadly poison. I'm messing. Anyway, the bottom line I want to throw at you is basically this. The tongue, in all it, as powerful as it is like a huge fire. It can either ruin or it can bless entire lives. The tongue basically was meant to send us down the right path to help have the right things in life happen. And it was never meant to assassinate, kill, or deprive us of any blessing that's been given to us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and even physically. So the number three, we talked about the gauging of the tongue for the purpose of maturity, the guiding of the tongue so we can do some, so we can get a proper direction, the girding of the tongue so that we don't do any hurt, harm, or danger, and by no means last, but by no means least. The guarding of the tongue, verse 9 and 10. The tongue can reveal what sort of wisdom you literally have, believe it or not. The tongue can reveal the level of wisdom that you possess. And a good tongue learns how to protect integrity and your overall base character. It can protect your integrity and your base character. And it is our responsibility to guide, to guard our tongue, and to make sure that whatever we say does not do damage, first of all, to ourselves, second of all, to that which surrounds us, and last but by no means least, to the community or the people that we serve. Any final comments before we bring this to an end? And Sister Kimmy Kim, since you had to go there, you are first. So take it off mute and let your tongue work for good this time.
Well, I just want to say the tongue is very important because the tongue tells you, or demonstrates to you who is your daddy. Either you're the child of God or you're child of Satan. And so that's why it's important that you watch your tongue. And that's why he says to meditate on his word day and night, because
that's right.
We are still fighting against flesh on a daily basis. So I rest there.
Okay. Sister Chanel, are you going to throw anything else in with us?
The tongue is, it either can be a blessing or it can be a curse.
Okay.
And I rest my peace.
All right. Apostle Smith. Apostle Smith.
I believe his phone dropped. I do apologize for that.
Okay, well, last but no means least, how about you, Apostle Whitlow?
I think we have just seen an example of how important it is that we govern our tongue, because if not, it can really do some things that it need not do, and we don't want to see it do that and lead people into a place that they can't get themselves out of. So I just simply say, watch your tongue. Watch your mouth. Live long and you won't be disappointed. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. All right. You've been listening to the Pastor's Corner. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. Our discussion tonight was the power of the tongue. We could subtitle it, Watch Your Mouth. Many of you, and especially those of you that are on social media that are listening to me right now and hearing what I'm saying, I thoroughly encourage you to be careful of the words that you speak, because words do have a boomerang effect. As the scripture says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and whoso loves the fruit shall eat thereof. Bottom line is simply this: what you put out may very well come back to smack you in the face. It could be the difference between that 5-6-figure job and that 3-4-figure job. Your mouth has the ability to get you in those kinds of doors. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., saying you have yourself a blessed night. Our prayer is that God will continuously live in you, live through you, work for you, and magnify himself in you. Remember that always the greater one lives inside of you. So let him rest, rule, reign, and abide. And that outside of you, just let it stay right where it is. God bless you, Kimmy Kim. If you please, start the song. We will see you guys next Thursday at 10 p.m. God bless you.
Several inches.